Quick hot take, Todd Brooks. You live in a hybrid cloud world. What's your thoughts?
Oh, great question. You know, I think for us, the fact that hybrid cloud, I think, is going to rule the day as opposed to just cloud has been a really interesting evolution as we progressed over the last several years.
Yeah, great. And Ron Marita, CTO seat, your thoughts on hybrid cloud?
We've got to really drive on simplicity and security. I think those two real technical challenges are going to drive success.
Great answers. All that and more on Transformers. Welcome to Transformers, a podcast where we talk to some of the leaders driving some of the biggest transformations out there today. My name is Anne Fanai. I am CIO and Vice President of Business Platform Transformation at IBM. And this is Transformers, a Think podcast. So I wanted to welcome today Todd Brooks, CEO of Falcon Store, and Ron Marita, CTO of Falcon Store. Another three of us together conversation. Thanks for joining, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Well, you know, let me dive right in here, because Falcon Store is a company that has really, really tight ties to IBM. And I think it also has a really interesting evolution, I'd say, you know, over the last decade, you know, 12, 15 years, maybe, Todd, if I could start with you, I think you've been part of this journey as the mission has shifted, your strategy has shifted, your approach, and even kind of your backers have shifted a little. Could you start us off there, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So you're right. I mean, Falcon Store's been around a while, and actually a little more than 12 or 15 years. Now, I think we're up going on 25 years. And throughout that time, Falcon Store's been a partner off and on with IBM at various times. And so because of that, our technology, our data protection technology is just evolved over time to integrate really, really well with IBM environments, with Power environments, with IBM operating systems. And so I came on board about almost 8 years ago now. And my mission in life was to come on board and reform, transform Falcon Store kind of back into, hopefully, if we do this right, you know, what it was, what once was back in the mid-2000s. And so I'm a private equity operator guy. And, you know, my, as I mentioned, my job is to come in and try to turn this thing around. And so first thing that we had to do was to figure out, because when I joined, the company had not been profitable for like 8 years in a row. And when you're a PE-backed firm like we are, that's not good.
No,
it's not good at all.
Yeah.
So we had to figure out how to right-size the company, right? Getting ourselves to where we are profitable. And so now for the last 5 years, we've been profitable. So then the next
Congratulations, by the way. Good work by both of you. Thank you.
Yeah, the private equity firm is happy or happier than they were. How's that? Then we had to move into, all right, we've stabilized the company. But what are we going to be when we grow up, right? We're not a huge company, so we have to pick our niche. You know, where are we going to try to win? And looking back at our IBM roots, we're like, we need to go all in on IBM. And so we made that decision in about 2020-ish and to go all in on IBM. And what that means now is that when we think about the world from a commercial perspective, we think about it from a IBM Power customer perspective, right? And what can we do to help them protect their data on their IBM Power environments, wherever they choose to run those environments, right? So those could be on-prem, it could be in cloud, it could be you know, any number of MSPs that offer services to these customers. So we've been through a, you know, this is a an appropriate conversation about transforming, because we've certainly had to transform, you know, not only how the company operates, but how we're going to think about the future and where we're going to put our focus in the future. So this is a a good time in the conversation.
No, and that's great. And Ron, as you've been along on this ride, I have two questions for you specifically. One, how has your role as a CTO evolved, for example? One of the questions I explored in a previous podcast with a CTO in private equity is there is a little bit of a CIO job generally in a CTO, and obviously there's a product management potentially side of it. So I'd like to know, how has your CTO role evolved as the company's evolved? And, what are you seeing as the impacts? How is your partnership with IBM and being private equity backed, driving some of your, how does it drive your decisions in technology, product solutions, an approach to the market?
Really good question, Sian. So first of all, I came in about 4 years ago. So as Todd pointed out, I came in after we essentially started to turn profitable. And so that's a very nice point to come in.
You came in at a high point as opposed to you weren't the one shoveling the...
Exactly. So, yeah. I really came in from the perspective of having a lot of domain expertise and business and technical expertise. I came in as the VP of engineering. So really focus on the execution of the product ensuring customer satisfaction. But as time evolved, really became much more involved in the business strategy and product strategy and the alignment between the two. And so, and certainly participating in the board calls, getting very direct feedback from the board members.
And they've done that, yes, absolutely.
and so really trying to balance those aspects of customer board pressures as well as where are we in the market and where can we be successful. And that's been very different from, kind of an extension of where I come from. So I was previously at very large companies, and I've also been at startups. This is the first time that I've been in a private equity-owned business. And so that aspect of organic funding of investments is we have to take it out of our profits to identify where the opportunities are and where to expand. And so it's been a really interesting journey and really fun. So my role, as you were asking, has been on starting out as VP of engineering, but a lot of that is also around product management and defining the roadmap and strategy, because we're not a very departmental organization. We're very lean and mean, so really trying to ensure that our roadmap aligns with our strategic direction. And as my role evolved into a CTO role, really defining what that strategic product direction really is.
No, and actually, I almost feel like I could do an entire episode with CTOs from different sizes and types of companies, PE-backed, VC-backed, seed-based,
Absolutely.
The role is so incredibly diverse. Previous episode, CTO at a fintech startup, he's in there writing the code every day. Is the plus one. He is the, he's doing pull requests, right? In my seat as a CIO now at a large company, I'm further away from that. And I suspect, Ron, you probably might be somewhere even in the middle of that.
Kind of in the middle, but it's been really exciting because I've got a really terrific staff who have tremendous knowledge of the technologies and the implementation. So I've really been able to luckily focus a lot on the product vision and direction and how we evolve from the core technologies that we have and how we address the new market opportunities.
And I think what I'm really curious about is kind of the interplay between the two of you as a CEO and a CTO, how you interact together primarily. And then how does that play out? If IBM is your all-in customer, how does that play with your relationship with IBM as well? And, the two of you coming together to IBM and IBM coming back to you as well.
So you want me to take that first, Ron?
Sure. I'll start off. I think Todd and I have a really great relationship. I'm having just so much fun because I think we're very well aligned in terms of where we want to take the business. I think we bring in our own deep expertise. But what's really nice working with Todd is that he's got a tremendous engineering background and product background.
Yeah, I think rocket scientist is what I might have heard, right?
I think we're able to blend our experiences, and we're able to communicate really well in terms of business strategy. You know, I'm able to go into the business side, he's able to go into the engineering side, and we oftentimes approach IBM, together and are able to provide that integrated view.
Yeah, no, I think I'd echo everything that Ron said. I'd add to it that, while Ron's got a fantastic strategic business mind, which I appreciate very, very, very much, the depth of his technical understanding, right, and what could be, right, in, like, he might be speaking with one of the storage execs, right, or product owners at IBM, and some of the ideas that they've come up with together. I don't have to worry about any of the engineering stuff, right? We check in once a week on the operational stuff.
Stuff's getting delivered. Yeah, that's not the concern. Yeah.
89% of our conversations are about strategy. How do we come alongside of IBM better? Where do we point our, spear so that we can grow more quickly? And so it's been a really good, really good relationship.
And how have you guys balanced kind of a push-pull, and to be very specific, obviously I think as a partner, IBM's not going to be shy about like, hey, could you do this? We think you should do this. But I have a perspective that, a lot of times the smaller companies, you're much more nimble, right? Large companies are always aspiring to be more nimble. How do you move faster? That's always a part of the conversation. But you're seeing trends maybe a little more real time. You're living them. You're able to adapt and pivot. How has it been for you actually kind of pushing back to IBM and saying, giving that feedback like, hey, I think you're missing something here. I think this is a good opportunity. I mean, it really is for any partnership. This is not just IBM and Falcon Store. We could go to, I could be at any other large company and there's partnerships like this. So would love to hear about that fun navigation. Cause I think in my seat, I love always learning, like, is there something I'm missing, something we could do better?
Think was what, 3 weeks ago or whatever?
Yeah, something 3-4 weeks ago. Yeah.
We had great one-on-one meetings with probably 16 VP above IBM execs. And these weren't just like, check a box and, hey, yeah, we'll meet with you for 10 or 15 minutes, Falcon Store. No, these were strategic discussions. And they weren't just like step one of a strategic discussion. There were step 48 of a strategic discussion that we've been having for 3 years. And so first of all, that engagement and the willingness on the part of the IBM folks to engage with a small company like us has been great. And so then what we try to do is continually try to, one of the IBM execs likes to say, you guys always outkick your coverage. You're always, delivering more. And that's what we try to do, right? As I mentioned before, we're all in an IBM and we're serious about that. And to a point where we want to align with the IBM strategic initiatives, do things like embed IBM terminology into our company, like frictionless hybrid cloud.
That is a favorite over here. We love that.
I mean, that helps the Falcon Store team get aligned with these initiatives. And so it's been, long story short, it's been a great relationship. And we've also seen that when we come to the table with ideas that might be pushing the needle a little faster than IBM might be used to seeing, they're very receptive. Now, sometimes we still have to wait, right? It is a big engine. It's a big ship. But nonetheless, the willingness to listen and see what can be done has just been fantastic.
Todd has established a very clear, focus that we're all in on IBM. We hear that every day. And what that means, understanding and aligning our strategic directions and our roadmaps with IBM is not just sort of at the architecture type of level, but it's really kind of trying to get into the mindset of IBM, what would they want, and really understanding IBM as a customer. And I think in terms of the partnership and the pushback, the give and take, I think It's been a really interesting type of interaction in which we're, they've been very receptive to our feedback. And so rather than pushback, I'd say it's kind of like feedback, which is hey, you know, I get where you're coming from. I think this might be a better solution, or I totally get to get in, we'll do it. And, you know, or this is what you might do. And this could help us both. And so I think that's really the key nature to this partnership, that we can actually influence IBM is actually a lot of the fun. I mean, the fact that we, you know, being so small and being able to actually say, yeah, you know, I think we actually had an impact. That's a pretty cool position.
Well, and I think, you know, as you're talking through that, I think this feels like a handbook of how to partner, and it put insert company A, company B, because I was thinking about some of the conversations I have in my seat with some of our large, you know, strategic enterprise, like ERP partner, CRM partners. And I always say there's three things I expect out of the relationship. One is if we come to you and say your product has a deficiency, you either tell us, well, you're right. Wow. If we unlock this, we maybe have a roadmap prioritized wrong, and it's a big unlock potentially for other customers. Or, hey, IBM, you're the only one on this planet asking for this. Why don't we show you how other folks do this? Or the third one is there something we can co-build together? And I just, you know, it strikes me as you're going through that, you know, that's really the same handbook, you know, again, insert any two companies. That's what an optimal partnership really looks like.
I think that's really true. I think the thing that I would also add is it's a level of empathy for where the customer is coming from, where IBM is coming from, where the leaders are coming from, and what they need to be successful. So there's the aspect of sort of negotiating the roadmap, but also understanding why are they asking that, and how can we actually address those goals even more than perhaps the specifics of what they're asking for.
I'm really curious because, you know, stepping away from kind of the IBM partnership, FalconStor really, I think it probably, if you looked at it, you know, 25 years ago when it started, or, you know, even as you were making the pivot, Todd, like it was very, there was almost a thought that it could be maybe a bit hardware centric, but the reality of the world you live in is it's a hardware world and it's a software world. And how has that been impactful for you? Because the software moved, I mean, like it or not, it's basically physics. The software world moves faster than the hardware world, as a general rule of thumb. How have you balanced those two? And like, are there fun trade-off stories, like things you've had to tackle living with one foot in each space these days?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, one of the first things that we decided to do when I came on board in late 17 was get out of the hardware business. So originally, FalconStor sold most of their solutions as an appliance, right? Compute, storage, all built in. We just delivered a box, right? And which is fine, but it's a low margin world, and it's a harder world. I mean, and so we decided, look, there will be some people that want to continue to buy an appliance. Great. We'll enable one of our partners to do that with our technology. And so we set up one of our partners to do that. Then we're going to focus 100% on software. And then we're going to focus really quickly on moving from perpetual to annual subscriptions. And then we said, okay, now we're going to move from annual subscriptions into monthly consumption. So all of those are super healthy moves for the company, but they also bring challenges, right? Perpetual certainly does juice the revenue, right? And when you make that move to recurring revenue, and now a little bit over 84% of our revenue is recurring, it's tougher to build your revenue stream, right? It takes longer. You have to stick it out, and you have to kind of get through that initial trough of going from perpetual and then build up. And so we've been able to successfully navigate that, thank goodness. You know, I think our hybrid cloud revenue, which we kind of split out now, what we call hybrid cloud revenue, it's in the Q1. I think we're at 65% year over year. So we're shedding the old,
right,
while we're growing the new. And so that's been, you know, certainly transformation is not one that's easy, though. But thank goodness we're about through it. So
No, and that's pretty incredible. And I think with that visibility, I think, you know, Ron, pivoting to you here, is you've got some opportunities you wouldn't have if it was still such a hard work focused business. And again, I love this type of conversation, because so many folks, their role covers one industry. Like I work for a company that does SaaS software. I work for a company that is hardware only or consulting only, I'm an SI as opposed to, you know, management consulting, right? And like you get your feet in a lot of different worlds, but this pivot to software, I think, opens up a lot of really cool opportunities on the technical side.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it both technically and also mindset wise. So I've come from enterprise companies where I've had hardware products and it's largely software driven, but with a hardware mindset, you can very much have, you know, the engineering team really implicitly be anchored in on-premise physical hardware. And by the fact that we've made the emotional and mental shift from an engineering culture perspective over to software, which gives us that agility we can actually deploy that software back onto hardware and deliver an appliance, but we're not an physical appliance trying to do other things. And so that being centered on software gives us an ability to go back into a physical appliance through partnership, but also it enabled us to go into the cloud, to be able to do multi-cloud, and right now we're working on SaaSifying our software to really deliver it as, you know, as a service. And again, it's sort of that mindset of it's very malleable. I think it gives us a lot of agility just from a design perspective if we're not anchored in hardware.
No, and the quote of today could be, we're making our software sassy. like SaaSifying or making it sassy. I love it.
Good.
Love that. Well, I feel like it wouldn't be a tech podcast in any way if we didn't talk about AI. And I think bridging this, I think some really good technical work and AI, but I think, you know, Ron, if you want to start, but Todd, I think you've really expanded the AI as a vehicle for partners to engage as well. Would love that story about, Ask Thomas AI, to give that give the Instagram handle a plug there.
Yeah, I'll actually let Todd start off. He's very passionate about this, and I'll give a little bit.
This has been quite honestly a lot of fun and a bit surprising. So we went to Think last year. So, you know, put this a hair over a year ago now, really with the mindset, just to be honest, that we thought IBM was behind in AI, right? At least that was my thought going in. And we left Think last year with the impression, oh my goodness, we are behind. And IBM is quickly gaining speed in this area, gaining recognition in this area. And if we're truly going to be all in on IBM, we need to figure out this WatsonX thing. About 3 or 4 months in, they said successfully created a chatbot for us to use internally. Somebody at the company, I don't remember who, but somebody at the company called him Thomas. And so, you know, after Thomas Watson, right? And so Thomas was born sometime last fall, and we began using them more and more internally. And you know how organic activity can kind of just give you ideas. And we saw internally that our sales teams and our pre-sales team were using them more and more. You know, hey, Thomas, write this letter for me. Hey, Thomas, write an email to me, to a bunch of CIOs that whatever. Hey, Thomas, help me configure this, whatever. And so the more we got Thomas trained up on not only everything Falcon Store, but then many things pure to IBM, like Red Books and Cloud Docs, right? All this stuff's publicly available, and we've trained Thomas on it. We began to understand that, this is really a sales scalability tool. And so we decided to open them up to IBM partner sellers and IBM partner technical solution architects. And so on March 10th, we opened them up to the world, and since March 10th, I think we're at now 84 or 85 active Thomas users from 36 partners in 21 countries. And we now view him as a sales scalability tool for us. You know, we're a relatively small company. So instead of going doubling our sales staff, Thomas is on 24/7. He's got all the collective knowledge of the Falcon Store team and then some, right? Because obviously he's built on large language models and then we train him up on other things. It's just been really, really interesting. You know, one of the early use cases that just happened organically is that partners started to use him and collaborate with him in their native language, right? Because that's just part of the large language models.
No, that's fascinating. And that's so, great. You
know, Polish or Chinese or Swedish or Spanish, what, it doesn't matter. They could just go have a conversation in an environment they feel very, very comfortable with. And so we'll continue right now. Thomas is free. Any partner can use him. Any IBM partner can use him. And, you know, we've got a whole emerging roadmap on what we're going to do with him down the road. But I think even beyond more of the fun is we begin to see the light on what we could potentially do with him and how we could build some of that technology into our products down the road. So that's been a lot of fun.
No, and your passion clearly comes through. And I mean, Ron, does the technical team feel the same kind of energy? Like that it's, you know, we all have our day jobs, but then there's stuff that's like, wow, it becomes my day job to try out some new things. And have you seen kind of a passion and an elevation and maybe even an impact on your products?
I think it's had an effect on the engineering team in many ways. I mean, I've seen this sort of evolution of the way that we think about AI. The first, it's kind of more like a replacement for Google search and very transactional. Ask a question and did it give me a good answer? But then I think it's really evolved to using it more as an expert from a technical perspective. So we're using it for the purposes of actually doing our software as a service design in the cloud, and the fact that he actually has knowledge of the actual commands that you can perform in IBM Cloud and to create a VPN or to create a gateway or whatever we have to do. So that's really been great. I think the thing that's really been valuable from a cultural perspective with engineering is that it's outside of the space of our existing products that we've had for many years. And what that creates is it invigorates this idea of opening up your aperture to new opportunities. And because it's very easy to fall into a very narrow pathway of, you know, these are things that can be done or can't be done with our current products. But when you throw in something so far out of our space and the new paradigm for thinking and analyzing problems, I think it creates a culture of, it reinvigorates the engineering culture. I think it's really valuable and really important.
Well, I think even more broadly outside the engineering group, you know, all of our sales team uses, all of our pre-sales team uses, our support team uses Thomas. And it's been really interesting to see some of the creative things that people have done. Our pre-sales group has even gotten to where they'll do a short little video once a week and of something that they have been collaborating with Thomas on, just to give partner users ideas on how to get more out of your collaboration with Thomas. To Ron's point, it's way more than just ask a simple question, get a simple answer. It's have an hour-long conversation with him, right? Whether you're a salesperson, hey, help me understand how I might go find 5 more deals. Or you're a technical person, example that Ron gave was ideal. So there's been a lot of really interesting use of Thomas, even internally. So we're excited about where we might be able to take him.
No, and that's incredible. And I think, like, again, this whole conversation, like, I know we're landing on AI, but this is such a relatable situation for anyone. Like, you know, the blueprint of like how two companies really work together, that's really a repeatable pattern. The way you straddled like a hardware to a software and made those pivots and then. You know, bringing in staying modern with AI. And again, I love your add-on there, Todd, with like it's infusing through the whole company. This is not just, it's not just the excitement happening in engineering. And I know something at IBM we do is we do these Watson X rallies where the whole company, it's, you know, an education session, go build something. We're trying to show everyone, you know, exactly, I think, what you guys have learned and, you know, at scale. So, I love seeing them. I love seeing the parallels and the patterns. So I think that's great. And, you know, to that, like, if wanted to wrap a little bit. So, you know, I made a joke a little earlier on about a rocket scientist there with you, Todd. And it's like, I think one of the things for the seats we generally sit in, like, there's a lot of stuff that has motivated us, has driven us. Like, you know, one of my stories is my dad worked for IBM for 43 years, brought home a PC Junior. I started playing with the cartridge that was BASIC, if I date myself appropriately. And like I think I had a PL1 programming book when I was a teenager, right? It's, you know, dead language, aging myself again. But it's like that's a passion that I've had. Like, what for each of you, like, again, you know, Todd, you go from an operator to a turnaround. You know, Ron, you're coming in, like, how do we pivot, like, really go full in software AI? Like, what's motivated both of you and driven you? Or, like, is there something like that has stuck with you that's helped you make the choices and how you think about the world?
Yeah, for me, you know, as you mentioned, I am an engineer by degree. I didn't work in engineering very long, but about 6 years, and I decided that the business side of the world was more fun to me than the strict engineering side. So I've been really more business focused since. But, you know, fast forwarding to FalconStor, you know, we started this conversation with FalconStor has been around for 25 years. And you may not know this, but in the mid 2000s, FalconStor was considered the darling of NASDAQ, one of the fastest growing companies on NASDAQ. And we've got employees, I would say, I don't know, what do you think, Ron? 70%, 65% of our employees have been around FalconStor since the early 2000s.
That's incredible. And
very passionate.
Unbelievable loyalty, unbelievable experience. When I started in 2017, one of the common questions I was asked is, are you going to rebrand FalconStor? You should rebrand FalconStor. Why don't you rebrand FalconStor? Because it was on the high and then it went, you know, it declined. Wouldn't it be better to start new? And I remember the first time I was at the company for probably a month, and I spent 2 weeks traveling around Asia talking to partners. And I came back thinking, man, there's this almost cult-like following and hope that FalconStor can return to greatness. And so I made the decision early on, we are not rebranding this thing. And even more so, I would love nothing more than FalconStor to become once again just a, you know, a high-growing, super well-respected data protection company, so that all those folks that made it happen to begin are rewarded 25 years later, right? And so that gets me up and going every day. And we joke about the PE firm. Our PE firm's fantastic. I would love nothing more for them to have a great return on their investment someday. But, you know, so we have a lot to work hard for, you know, to get the company back to where we want to get it. So.
And Ron, what drives you?
So the thing that really drives me is solving really interesting problems. I just have fun. You know, it's like a puzzle. And so I've been in startups. I've been in many large enterprise companies. And so this company is ostensibly very different because it's a PE company, very small, et cetera. But I think the common thread through all of these companies and experiences is I'm really having fun. I'm really learning things. It's creating opportunities for me to collaborate with the team in FalconStor and also with IBM and customers. So those things really drive me. And wow, you know, for the size of a company of its store safe that FalconStor is, you know, being able to get into the cloud, into AI, into SaaS offerings and hybrid cloud offerings has really been exciting. And you know, participating in the business transformation, it's all been great.
That's wonderful. So, you know, Ron Marita, Todd Brooks, thank you both so much for joining me today, and loved hearing your story, and you know, hopefully great, great lessons for everyone listening in today. Thank you. And thank you all for listening today. We hope you'll join us again at the next episode of Transformers.